2 years ago today, Supreme Court passed marriage equality.
Happy anniversary, everyone.
Love is love is love.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's show, we will be talking to Mother Extraordinaire, Miss Linda Stay. She is a mother of three great gay children who was thrust into activism at the height of Prop 8's fight for marriage equality in California. And for also pushing back on the Mormon Church in support of her children. We're going to have more on Linda Stay, and it's an amazing story, when we come back on the second half of the show. My name is Tom, and I'm your host, and I'm here with my amazing co-host, these two individuals that I absolutely love to death, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
It is an absolutely amazing show. It's going to be a great show. I'm so super excited to talk to this woman because I feel that there's a lot to be gained as far as understanding where a straight woman comes from, loving her children and just bringing things into perspective for us. Because, you know, we like to think that we have conversations with our parents and say, you know, this is who we are, and Ma, do you understand? But this woman made it her life mission. And I think that there's so much to be learned from parents everywhere if you're listening to our show.
Well, a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was a girl who basically did, I think it was like a proclamation in the Mormon Church that she was gay and that she doesn't think that God hates her for being gay. And she was talking about this. This girl was young. I mean, she must have been like 10 or 11. And the pastor like kind of shut her down. So I'm really interested to see the perspective from an ex-Mormon, you know what I'm trying to say? Because she's not a part of the church anymore.
Right, so she had left the church. And it's interesting, you know, we dive into politics all the time, but it's going to be a different perspective and something to add to the show, bringing on someone from the religious side of it to start talking a little bit about that. Because we touch on it, you know, we talk about religious freedoms and that, but coming from someone, especially from such a strict faith as the Mormon religion, I think will be something really new to Gay Talk.
It would be a certainly interesting, perspective. And speaking of church, you know.
Well, she also sent us Dookie, too.
She did.
I'm wearing the pin. I'm wearing the I Poop Today pin. I was wondering why everyone was looking at me so weird when I was shopping. I was like, oh, right.
Leave it to Chris. He, like, seriously, he's an avid, promoter for Squatty Potty. We all own one. And the reason why we're talking about Squatty Potty, because Linda Stay is actually also the communications director for Squatty Potty. And we were put in touch, we found out about Linda through our conversation with Bobby Edwards, who is the CEO of Squatty Potty, who told us, you know, this woman has an interesting story to say and to tell. And I was like, well, we want to hear it.
Hell yeah.
So yes, mm-hmm. to that. But speaking of religion, you know, in the Catholic Church, you know, you go, I was raised Catholic, although I'm very secular in my religion now. We were raised to, you know, go grab your piece of wafer or whatever it is they throw in your mouth,
and then
it's like Nilla
wafer,
body of Christ. There you go. And then they give you some wine, and I'm like, speaking of wine and all that good stuff, let's talk about today's cocktail.
Yes. Yeah. And for those of you who are wondering, like, the level of cursive, it's definitely going to be up there because we pretty much just killed a bottle of tequila.
Did we really?
Yeah, it's pretty much empty.
Oh my god. Well, our listeners know we came and we barbecued because we had time today, so mm-hmm. we had a couple cocktails.
We did. Some steak and asparagus.
It is a beautiful sunny day in the northeastern United States in Connecticut, and so we decided we were going to fire up that grill. Chris did some delicious
steaks. He made
some
amazing meat, and man, I love eating his meat.
Oh, it is delicious.
I love cooking for my boys.
It is prime USD graded, like...
Certified, bitch.
Certified meat.
Certified.
Delicious. And the asparagus was delicious, too.
Yeah, it was.
Grass-fed organic.
That's right. So, only Chris, the best quality stuff for you guys.
So, Chris, can you tell us a little bit about today's cocktail?
Yes, we are going with a classic White Dragon cocktail.
Love. I love it when you talk about classic cocktails like the White Dragon, because I've never even heard of it, but it is a classic cocktail.
Exactly. That's what I really, you know, I like to bring the classic drinks back, you know, drinks from the 20s, the 30s, the from the Manhattan bars, drinks that people used to obsess about and are somewhat forgotten until you go to really high-end restaurants where they have these extensive drink menus. And I think it's a little more creative than just, you know, we had a couple of weeks where we're like, we're going to do some vodka sodas. And I'm like, no, let's, you know, we want to get interesting. We brought sage into our cocktails. We've used pumpkin butter. We've used fresh watermelon.
Like, which you never took home, by the way.
The pumpkin butter?
Yes.
I love that pumpkin
that
butter.
That being said, these cocktails aren't cheap for us to make.
Fuck
so
no.
We are looking for sponsors.
Yes,
UnicornBooty.com.
So UnicornBooty.com, if you are listening, we are looking for sponsors. Anyone out there that would like to, you know, just throw some words of sponsorship on our show, we are more than willing to talk to you. Let us know. Hit us up. Send us an email at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com.
Even if unicornbooty.com gave us a quarter for every time we mentioned them in one episode, we get like $38 an episode.
So we'll be rich.
I'll just stand in the background being like, unicornbooty.com.
Unicornbooty.com. Unicornbooty.com.
Unicornbooty.com.
Unicornbooty.
Unicornbooty.com.
All right, so I do have to add, okay, so there's a reason why we chose the White Dragon cocktail, because our today's guest on the second half of the show, Miss Linda Stay, is also known as a Mama Dragon. And we're not going to emphasize on that until we have a conversation with her, but just hold that thought. Stick a pin in that, because we'll come back to that.
Right.
Okay?
So the cocktail.
Go for it.
Hold on, I almost deleted the note.
Oh,
we're good. Okay, all right. So again, the classic White Dragon cocktail consists of 1 3/4 ounce silver tequila. We are not using any particular brand, but silver tequila. Mm-hmm. 3/4 ounce Cointreau orange liqueur. 3/4 ounce fresh lemon juice. And 1 egg white. That's the fun part of it.
And you just shake it.
1 egg white. That's right. So the way you build this cocktail is you add all the ingredients to a shaker without any ice. Mm-hmm. And you shake that vigorously. And what that does is froth up the egg white. Just like in a whiskey sour, traditionally, the egg white makes it a very frothy drink. Then you fill the shaker with ice. You shake it again. You strain it into a classy coupe glass. And then you add twist an orange peel over the top. And discard it just for a little flavor, get the oils out there, and you are good to go. That's the White Dragon cocktail.
You know, and what's great about it is it tastes like a fresh margarita.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I was nervous about the egg white. But it's fine.
You don't even notice it.
It's just adding froth to it.
It's very frothy, and it's very delicious. And I encourage everyone to make one.
And I also need to say that I made the first round, and they came out really good.
Yes, you did, Nick.
Because normally Chris is our barista. He goes into that kitchen, and he doesn't even like come out until they're perfect. He drinks half of them before he realizes.
Well, I got to sample
them. It's the right consistency. You guys can taste them now.
It's funny. Before Gay Talk, I never measured with cocktails, but now, I mean, there's a recipe for a fucking reason.
Well, if you knew Chris, you would know that he would need to measure, otherwise you'd be on the floor in 2 hours.
It's just like that woman starts with...
Seriously.
2 shots of vodka.
Speaking of being on the floor in just 2 hours, because Chris makes your cocktail, Chris, did you have an interesting evening yesterday that you want to tell our listeners about?
I've been
waiting for the story all day.
I'm burning myself right now. I'm going to burn myself, and I think it's a fun one, because these guys were trying to get me to come out to the bar last night, and we started drinking at like 11 in the morning.
It was our friend's birthday, so we went to brunch.
Yeah, so happy birthday to you. So we had like 9 bottles of champagne to start.
9?
Keep in mind, there was 10 of us.
Exactly.
because you guys went to brunch.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Right. I missed it.
There were some tequila shots also. We were at PA's house playing darts after. So after taking my nap, I decided to go out to a local...
Did you stab anybody with a dart?
No, I'm pretty good with darts, even though I was one-eyeing it. So I decided to visit a local establishment near my home, or walking distance, walking. So after leaving there, I like, let's go to the beach. Like, thought that my drunk ass thought it was a good idea to walk to the beach with a recorder, my recorder, to play music standing by the ocean at like 12:30. So my drunk ass stumbled.
Fucking Zelda over here.
Stumbled 1/4 mile to the beach. You ever seen a drunk person walk in sand? It's probably hilarious.
It was sunny, wasn't it?
No, it was at night.
This was almost 1 a.m.
Oh.
So my drunk ass stumbles there, stumbling through the fucking sand. These like kids on bikes were like, play your flute. I'm like, it's a recorder and I will. So then these other two, this like lovely couple is laying on a towel, just enjoying the beautiful sounds of the ocean. I'm like, hold on, I'm going to ruin this real quick. So not only could I walk, I couldn't walk, but I also could not play. I sounded like shit. So I'm sitting there attempting to play my freaking tenor recorder. My ass loses balance, fall flat on my face in the fucking ocean.
I'm proud of you.
I knew that was coming.
I fell right in.
Oh, and my God.
It was worse how long it took me to get back up. That's really what it
the
was.
The waves are intense.
He's a mess.
Yeah, I was a mess. And then the whole time going
home.
What
happened to your recorder?
It was okay. Okay.
See, what really happened was Chris was left unsupervised.
I was wondering because I texted him last night. Okay, so I was running karaoke last night, and I texted him and I said, Chris, are you coming out to the bar? Because I always love when someone admires when I sing a song, and Chris absolutely loves when I sing Adele's When We Were Young. Mm-hmm. And so I texted him to make sure that if he was going to come, that I wasn't going to sing it as my opener for the show. And he was like, yeah, I'm staying in. Bullshit. You more like crawled to the beach.
No, totally. It was a fucking disaster. This is why I need an adult.
Can I ask Chris one more question?
Shit.
Do it.
Why is, besides the fact that Tommy has a great voice and sings that song really well, you told us a story about why When We Were Young resonates with you because one of your friends always says something.
Oh my God.
So what was that?
Our listener, Toby, in Munich. Oh. He's so cute with his, whenever he, if you say something bizarre, and in the way we would speak would be like, hold on, like, I need a minute, like, give me a second. And he always says, moment. So whenever I hear, can I get a moment? I'm like, can I have a moment? He always just puts that right there. And
I'll do it for you.
Can I have a moment?
Oh, she
moment.
Had to have reverb.
Before
exactly.
I go.
Of course.
Because I've been by myself all night long.
Every night.
Hoping you're someone I used to know.
You look like Astroglide.
Always sitting on
But it's
computer.
Actually a porno.
Yeah, it is. No, but you know, it's such a fun song to sing, and people like really get mesmerized when you're like in the middle of the lyrics and stuff. So yeah, I enjoy singing it, and I love that he loves it, and he gets all crazy, and he comes like stares at me while I'm singing, and I'm like, this bitch is making me uncomfortable.
Especially in D.C. I know. I was a fucking mess hanging over you with my fucking shirt off.
Yes, like, he was. You know, but it was fun. Speaking of D.C., go ahead.
Well, I hate blowing up Tommy's ego, but I do have to say that somebody told me last night that people are starting to come to Partners for Sunday karaoke just because he's doing such a great job. So
thank you.
Proud of you.
I recommend people checking it out.
You really are doing a
David,
great job.
Okay, so the owner of the bar... I walk in the other day. He doesn't compliment anyone. He says to me, he goes like, you know, you were gone for that week and, you know, she was lovely, but she's not you. And I was like, ooh, I better put this shit in my pocket and save it for the next time that he insults me so that I can remember that he once paid me a compliment. I love that man, though. He is, you know, he could come off as abrasive or as dismissive as he possibly can, but that man has not one mean bone in his body, and he will give you the shirt off your back.
That is very true. Mm-hmm.
So shout out to Dave and to Partners Cafe for, you know, just making our community a place where, you know, for making your bar a place where our community can go and just feel safe and just unwind and have drinks.
Definitely.
So let's move on because we do have a guest today. But before we get started, I'd like to touch base on a subject that we discussed on last week's episode and give you a little bit of updates on it. So Chris, I do have to say that you were correct last week when you said that Brazil had the biggest...
No, it's Toronto.
No,
he said Brazil.
Okay.
He did say Brazil has the biggest attendance of any Pride festival. So they had the organizers' statistics said they had about 3 million people attend, but authorities reported about
2.5 million.
Yeah, exactly.
2.5 million attendees. I had said that it was Spain, and Spain came in second. In 2007, they registered about 2,300,000 attendees. Then there's San Francisco with 1.7 million, and then Madrid
again.
1.5 million in 2016. In 2002...
Cologne.
Cologne was 1.4 million, and then Toronto came in at 1.2 million attendees for a local festival. So those are the top six places in where Pride has really like resonated with people, and they had a large number of people come in. We did get an email.
Yes, we did. Stephen from Canada.
That's correct. He did send us an email saying that it was Toronto, the biggest festival, and he was right. At some point, it was in 2012. So, you know, there's no wrong answer here. The point is, we are coming out in droves to these events.
Yeah.
And we are making our presence known. So, bravo.
Which in Toronto, I follow Justin Trudeau.
Oh.
There it is. Cursive.
Cursive.
On Instagram. And his live story, he was at Pride this year.
Yes, he was.
The fact that he just marched with his people.
Sophie.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was amazing. And he wished everybody a happy Pride on his Instagram. And it just, like, I'm like, I love you. And now I have to realize that I live in Trump's America.
And we're so close.
Where was Trump during Prides?
She was fucking golfing or playing tennis or something.
She did not show up now to one Pride event. So, you know, fuck you.
Does it surprise you?
So, anyway, shall we go into our stories, darlings?
Yeah, fine.
All right. Yeah. So, my favorite website, unicornbooty.com.
Unicornbooty.com.
Okay, so reports that the selection committee for the Hollywood Walk of Fame today made a big announcement. RuPaul will finally gain her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which is amazing. So claps for her. All right, and among her and the other 2018 class inductees are TV's original Wonder Woman, Linda Carter.
Love her.
Kristen, I spin for her.
Kirsten Dunst, Simon Cowell.
Simon.
But you know, he deserves it. You gotta understand. He's at this point pop culture.
If there's anyone out there that resembles our boss at Partners, it's Simon
Cowell. Yeah. Exactly. You know, that's absolutely right.
Just throw a little accent in there.
Yeah.
Just a little
every
accent.
Once in a while, he comes up with this like emotional like positivity for like whoever was on stage.
For 10 seconds.
But most of the time, he's like, yeah, no.
He's like, fuck you.
But no. 10 seconds.
You need to lose some weight. Or, no.
It's like that movie, Miss Congeniality. He goes like, you were doing so good. And then that mouth. Remember that?
Yep.
Exactly that. So so we also have a Fame song, Paradise Wheel, Weird Al Yankovic. Or Yankovic, excuse me. All right, we also have openly gay TV producer Ryan Murphy.
Yeah.
Empire's Taraji P. Henson.
Amazing.
We have the new star of Claws, Niecy Nash. It's probably Nancy. Me and my misspelling, sorry. R&B singer Mary J. Blige, Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Love is Miranda. Love is love is love. I love that man.
Minnie Mouse made the cut this year. And Steve Irwin and Bernie Mac, whose stars are being posthumously granted because they're already passed.
Correct.
So also, on top of that, congratulations to Sasha Velour, who won RuPaul's Drag Race this year.
Spoiler alert.
At this point, it's already known. It's the episode happened. It's gone. It's done. Peppermint came in second runner-up, and she was amazing as well. I really got into this season.
I'm not.
I never watched it.
I was really mad that Valentina got voted off the way she did, and because she was super talented, and I think she's super beautiful, but that was that. So congrats to RuPaul.
There's one more on the list.
There is? Yeah. Oh. And of course, Nick or Trish, she's making her, her
debut. I'm getting
debut.
My star.
She is.
I literally looked away from the note for 1 second.
And it was
and
there.
He's like, who's this one more? I'm like, oh, it's freaking Nick or Trish.
Nick or Trish. And, you know, they're going to literally lay the star down, and here comes Tommy with a freaking, like, sledgehammer and just...
Lay the star down. They're just gonna push her ass in the fucking cement.
How the hell did you get a star before me?
How did your ass go in the cement and the cement turn glitter?
Exactly.
Unicornbooty.com.
Unicornbooty.com.
So I think, you know, it's an amazing thing. It's good to see that, you know, the LGBT community has a very positive visibility in today's TV compared to all the stuff that's going on politically. So, you know, bravo to RuPaul. She's doing something good. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Yes, queen.
Yes.
Did I mention that Lin-Manuel, when he was at the Tony Awards and was presenting an award, had a rainbow, a little like emblem on his jacket when he got up there?
No, but you're going to tell us now.
That
was it. There it is.
That was it. I found $5, but it was just, it was, you know, it's him being up there, and he's just such a strong and amazing ally, and blows my mind, and I love him. And I mean, yeah, there's nothing more
to say.
He
is great. Let me tell you, the man is a genius. He did something absolutely amazing with, you know, the play that he created, and it's been a phenomenal, It's just insane. Yeah. So, you know, it was all his creation, and he's a very talented man. Mm-hmm. And moreover, he's a very, very amazing human being. Very giving, and so, you know, well-deserved. His success is very well-deserved.
Yeah, if he wants to write, like, a new opener for Gay Talk 2.0, feel free.
Absolutely. We would not be opposed to that. Yeah. So, shout-out to our amazing friend, Jess Brannis, who's listening to us live. She sent me a message.
Hey, Jess.
Telling us that she's listening, so we love you, girl.
And Nacho.
And Nacho.
Yes. Hey, girl.
And all of your listeners.
I miss you.
I'm sure you do. Mm-hmm.
And as she knows, we stumbled upon Schmo's toilet.
Oh, yes, we did.
We found Schmo's toilet. You can see that on Facebook.
We're speaking about Schmo the intern from over at with our friends over at the Idiots Radio, which you can listen to them every Monday as well. On
he poops in his backyard.
Radio. He poops in his backyard.
So we found him a nice little wooden board with a hole in it. So
it's a cornhole board, but
it started as his toilet. They just like, what else can we do when he's not shitting in it? Oh, throw beanbags to it in your backyard at a barbecue.
Oh my God, it's so gross.
All right, so we have some other stories. These may not be as happy-go-lucky, but we're certainly going to cover them. So, Chris, would you like to start?
That's what we're here for. You know, we're not fake news. We can't always give you just a happy, but there's some happiness in this one, too. It was a busy day.
Yes, it was.
For the Supreme Court of the United States today. Closing out going on their break. Today was the final day is it the early fall? I think they have like a summer break.
Yeah, they take a summer break.
So the Supreme Court rules in favor for same-sex married couples in Arkansas.
All places.
I know. Well, that's why it came to the Supreme Court, because it's from a state where they have these kind of issues. Same-sex couples' names can now be listed on children's birth certificates. It was a 6-3 vote in favor.
Well, they ruled that what...
They ruled against what Arkansas had said, that the... birth parents' names were to be on their birth certificate.
Which we actually covered that story on the show.
Exactly. Yep. So it's nice to know that.
So this is an update.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So they said that the state must list same-sex parents on birth certificates in that state. To refuse that, the court said it is denying married same-sex couples the full constellation of benefits that government has linked to marriage. So is Thomas Alito, or Justice Thomas, Justice Alito, and Justice Gorsuch that dissented on this. And with that being said, the court also said they will be taking on the case of a baker from Colorado who is refusing to make wedding cakes for same-sex couples, which I think we had also talked about when that had first happened.
You know, I'm interested now that you say that Gorsuch dissented on this. I'm interested now in going back and looking at his dissent to see where he lies, because, you know, this is a very uncharted territory for us, because we have a justice on the court that just got nominated, 4 or 5 months ago?
Yeah.
We don't know how he tends to side with these type of issues.
Well, he's definitely leaning toward the conservative side, clearly. But he said that...
And didn't they also announce that Justice Kennedy might be retiring?
That's been skeptical for some time now. I mean, he's normally, 81 years old.
Historically, today was the last day, right? Today's Monday. Today's the last day. Normally, historically, anyone that was up for retirement would announce it by the end of the current session, which would have been today. So no announcement came, which means that it's safe to say, I hope so, that he's going to stick around for another term.
Now, I believe it was 2006, mm-hmm. when maybe it was either 2006 or 2001. If you're listening, you can always call us and correct me.
Please.
What are those numbers, Tom?
It is 334-429-8255 or 334 Gay Talk.
Thank you, baby. Give me some.
Yes.
Okay. So I believe it was
on the spot.
I believe it was 2006 when, 2 days after the recess began, a justice did announce her retirement. So
was that Miss O'Connor?
I don't think it was O'Connor. No, that name doesn't sound.
Don't look at me.
If you said it, I think I would have remembered it, but.
Sandra Day O'Connor or something like that. I don't know. Well, but either way,
it had happened in the past that, you know, a couple days after the recess, a justice had to step down. But I'm really hoping he just holds on. This is a justice who genuinely enjoys his job.
Yeah,
like he's an 81 year old man. He's that swing that's important, and I think he's enjoying this pressure
where people are like, is he going to do it? Is he going to go on? Is he going to retire? And he's sitting there like, I'm just going to keep you guys waiting around. I hope he stays on for a while at least.
Yeah, Ruth, baby. I told you many times over, whatever you need, I got it for you, baby.
But what did she say about...
Anything you need from my body, I will give it to you. Just stay there.
And what did she say about the justice we were just talking about? Eat more kale? Stay healthy.
It's a power food.
It is a power food.
As well as blueberries. And blueberries are specifically great for women.
All right. Well, so, Ruth, I'm going to buy you some blueberries and mail them to you. I'm going to mail them to your office in D.C. And you can sit there and eat blueberries until your heart is content.
I'll feed them to you. I will feed them to you myself.
I will go and fan you and feed you blueberries all day long. Spoon.
Feeding her blueberries. How are you going to vote on that? Yeah. So what are your thoughts on this? You want another blueberry? You're going to vote like this.
And if you're going to vote against it, you're going to get a mouthful of blueberries.
Oh, it is just amazing. It is amazing. I just, you know what? We are living in such a weird but amazing, polarizing time, and where we're seeing so much that, you know, not many generations get to experience.
Yeah.
So much change. And some of it's very bad, but, you know, we're living history. We are living in the midst of history right now.
And since we're on the Supreme Court, there was obviously another thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Supreme Court unanimously decided to hear the case of President Trump's travel ban. That being said, part of it is going into effect 72 hours after they got the green light. So there were nationals.
Do we know what part of it?
Yes.
Okay.
There were foreign nationals from six nations, I believe it was six, mm-hmm. because the seventh was Iraq. Was
and
it Iraq
got
or
taken
Afghanistan?
Off the list,
Iraq got taken off. Now, if you, just like in Hawaii, what they were arguing the case was, if you are going to be allowed to enter the country from those barred nations, if you have a bona fide relationship or reason to come to the United States. So, for instance, I believe the issue in Hawaii was someone's mother or mother-in-law was trying to come into the country. But since there's a relationship like that with an immediate family, mm-hmm. you're going to be allowed in. If you have an acceptance to a college or university, you will be allowed to enter the United States. If you have a job offer, you will be allowed to enter the United States. But if you don't have that bona fide, quote unquote, relationship with someone or a business or an entity in the U.S., you will be denied entrance. But the problem with that is
who makes the decision.
Yeah, right. Makes how much of a relationship you need. And it's going to be on these individual customs agents to be making that call. So it leaves it up for debate. Like, where's the line? How much is too little?
How much of the law protects those against being discriminated against for what they believe in, who they decide to worship?
And Trump even changed. He didn't say ban today, and I'm pissed. I'm blanking on the word. He used more politically correct and a softer term, but it's a ban.
Well, he's trying to get a win here. There's no doubt that he's trying to get a win.
He did call it a clear victory. It was a win for him.
It's not a win. It's a partial grant of what it is that you're asking the court to do. Obviously, there's a lot of restrictions as to what you can and cannot do because of the implications of what you've already put out there. This man is literally going out there saying that this is what I wanted to do, is specifically against Muslims, and that wording,
Muslim majority
his
nations.
Own wording, his own Twitter is hurting him. This man needs to stop tweeting if he wants to get anything done.
And ironically, none of the nations were nationals that were the hijackers for 9/11 are on that list. There's Egypt. There's no United Emirates. There was another nation.
Qatar.
Was it Qatar? Mm-hmm. Then, because I know Yemen is on there, Somalia, Libya, Iran. I'm blanking on two more. But it's interesting how it's going to be, because they're going to see this case, I believe, in October or early fall. They'll be doing the hearing on this, and you know, and it's only a temporary thing too. It was 90 days for people coming from these nations, and then 120 days, I believe, for Syrian refugees.
Well, now the court is going to wait. The Supreme Court of the United States is going to wait to come back from recess to really sit down and look at this and say, okay, how does this affect? How does this fall within the scope of the Constitution?
I was gonna say, it's a constitutional ban,
and decide whether or not they're going to allow it to continue or not. So, I mean, this is clearly not a clear win for him. He's getting some of what
he
wanted.
It's definitely something for the Trump administration.
Because they've gotten nothing. So,
any little thing, you know, they have to make up. They have to make up achievements.
Make
so this is something that's not made up. You know, he did get a bone. They threw him a bone. I wouldn't call it a clear victory.
I think that was a cookie. I think he got a cookie.
Sure, he got a cookie. But I wouldn't call it a cold cut clear victory, but it's definitely something for the Trump administration.
All right, so we have, at 7 p.m., we have one more story to go. Do you want to cover the story or we go to break?
We can come back to it.
All right, well,
yeah, it's fine with me.
Here's what we're going to do.
It's a sad story, but it's a good story.
Yes, it is. So we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to have Linda stay on the line with us.
Yes, queen.
Talking about her amazing story. And it's going to be fun. So we're going to play some familiar music for you folks. We're going to throw a hint as to who our next week's guest is. So here's the break. Ladies and gentlemen, enjoy the song.
Everybody's got a pain inside, imaginary wounds they fight to hide. How can I hate them when everybody's got a pulse? I dream in a world that wants my soul. It tells me if I hate, I can control. But I don't believe it, I cannot conceive it, 'cause everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Again, I hang my head to cry. I can't find the reason why they died. We will find the answer blowing in the wind. But everybody's got a pulse. I am human, I am love, and my heart beats with my blood. Love will always win underneath the skin. Everybody's got a pulse. Who you gonna hate now when there's no one left but you? Who are you gonna gun down if you can't kill the truth that it's inside of us? It's inside our blood. It's inside of pulse. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse.
Everybody's got a pulse.
I am human, I am love, and my heart beats in my blood. Love will always win. Underneath the skin, everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse. Everybody's got a pulse.
picture clear. You're the one that I want near. I wanna hear you make that sound from the love we found. I wanna turn you upside down till we hit the ground. I wanna hear you scream my name. It won't be the same.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back from the break. That was Paul Spy, none other than our guest artist next week, Melissa Etheridge, and Loud by Davis Mallory. And now, ladies and gentlemen, with us is the amazing mother who challenged herself, her faith, and her church in support of her three gay children. Welcome, Mama Dragon herself extraordinaire, Miss Linda Stay. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Linda, it is absolutely an honor to have you on the show. We were originally going to do some Skype, but I know that you guys had a power outage.
We did. Just as you were calling, something went pop and the whole building went out. And so I would have loved to have seen your beautiful faces.
But you know what? It happens. And either way, we're technically able to manage either way and get you on the line with us. So my name is Tom, and I'm one of the hosts of the show. And of course, you've been corresponding with our amazing...
Hi, Linda. It's Nick. So good to hear your voice.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
And we have our other little partner in crime.
Hi, Linda. I'm Chris.
Hi, Chris.
So nice to hear your voice.
Nice to meet you guys.
And,
thank you.
And like I said, you know, we're super excited to have you. It is, you have an amazing story to tell, and you've been telling that story for quite a while, and we are more than happy to hear that story and talk to us about what it is that you're all about nowadays.
Yes. But first, real quick question for you. How was Bobby's wedding?
You seriously? Absolutely epic. Does not even describe.
Yes.
I mean, gay wedding extraordinaire, over the top from start to finish. And the thing that I loved the most about it was, I mean, if you know Bobby a little bit, it was every ounce of who Bobby is and everything that he's ever wanted. And that's what was absolutely beautiful and thrilling to witness, including they came in on a carriage with their children in the carriage with them and with a, holding a big old rainbow umbrella. And
it, oh my God, that's awesome.
I was bawling from the first get go through the whole thing. It was absolutely beautiful. It was poignant. And honestly, now I'm going to cry. Our small Southern Utah conservative, for them to be able to do that in Utah we're still just incredibly amazed and grateful. And it kind of was an accumulation of everything that we've worked so hard for and all the sacrifices that we've made and all the, you know, the things that we've lost in the process, and was all worth it in that moment, because it was like, this is why we're doing this.
This is exactly why we're doing it. And, you know, we're so happy that he got married. We were so excited when we found out about it. Did you officiate the wedding, or were you part of the wedding in any way?
No, I am a wedding officiant. And I'll tell you, the reason I did that years ago was I thought mostly I would be doing maybe weddings in California, but in the event that someday I could officiate same-sex weddings. And Bobby, thankfully and gratefully, said, you know, I want you to be able to just come and enjoy. You'll be a mess. And if I try to do it, and he was very wise. So I worked with the officiant that they chose, who is also a good friend of theirs. And so we kind of worked together and got the script and a lot of things going there. So
that's amazing.
So I was behind the scenes in a part of it.
You know,
but I got to go and just sit there and cry and be a mess.
And he loved every minute of it.
If our listeners can't tell, it's clear that you're passionate about the community. So we obviously just love you for that. I mean, we've been waiting for this moment to chat with you, just hearing about your story. For weeks, we were just so excited. We've been talking about it for so long. And we're just so excited to have somebody so strong and powerful come and talk to us.
It's truly humbling. It's something we were all looking forward to.
I'll tell you why I'm excited.
Well, thank you.
Because, you know, we all have mothers, and all of our mothers are accepting of our lifestyle. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to actually have that conversation with your mom and have that relationship with your mom. But you took that and gave it steroids and took it and just literally just like blew it out of proportions, just went out, and you became this crusader for your kids and for the community. And tell us a little bit about what motivated you to stand up against your faith in support of your child, obviously it's your children, but what was the turning point when you said, okay, I need to do this for my kids?
Well, you know, I think in my bio, and I chatted with Nick, kind of consider myself an accidental activist, because it all happened just, I'm a very non-political person, mm-hmm. but as you can tell, I'm a very emotional and passionate person as well. And, when I found out that my son was gay, I was very, very LDS. And in fact, my kids referred to me as Nazi Mormon. I mean, I was just, boom, you didn't cross the line, and you towed the line, and you know, that's just who I was. And when I found out that he was gay, I of course was scared to death, and I was fearful for him. Matthew Shepard had been killed just 6 months prior to that.
Oh my God.
And
wow.
My Tyler was 18 at the time. And in my little Mormon mind, the only thing I knew about gay was hate crimes, HIV, AIDS, suicide, drugs, just promiscuous sex, you know, just all this fear overcame me. Thankfully, he was, well, I'll say I had what I call a God intervention. I basically picked up the phone and heard him talking on the phone to a man and things that mothers shouldn't hear.
Yeah, well.
You know, and this was like in the night. And I, my Linda brain, my Linda Mormon mom brain, I wanted to go down the stairs and just shake him and slap him and say, what are you doing? At the time, we had literally, I had taken the kids from their beds at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we drove away from a very scary, harmful situation to us. So we drove away in the middle of the night. I was going through an ugly, scary divorce and trying to protect my kids. And then I get this, and it's like, I had a brain tumor at the time. And I was just like, okay, no, this is too much. I can't handle this. And I wanted to go down the stairs and say, look, I know you're stressed, but you're putting our family in danger and snap out of it. I need you. And it was, you know, all about me. Don't do this to me kind of thing. That was where my brain was at. And being the good Mormon mom that I was, I dropped to my knees and just, please God, don't let me say the wrong thing. Don't let me screw this up. Don't let me screw up this kid that's been my right-hand man through a really stressful, abusive marriage. And so I was shaken. I got up the stairs and went down and just opened the door. And, of course, he was like deer in the headlight and hung up the phone. And I just patted the couch to have him come over to me. And all I heard was somebody else took over at that point. And I felt these loving arms around us both. And I just said, I love you. It's okay. I love you. It's okay. And we sat there and we cried. And then, of course, I was like, well, this is all my fault. And what about your girlfriend? And he was very, very patient. It was like, Mom, you know, look back. How could you not know? And he's right. How could I have missed all that? But a long story short, what gripped me was, what the message that I got immediately was that there was nothing wrong with Tyler. And I was the one that needed to learn and adjust and grow. I had to fix my thinking, and that he was perfect. And he just like I knew he was perfect. And now I just knew a little bit more about him now. Right. And so I needed to understand that. But I also was afraid. And so it was like, we can't tell anybody, you know, the kid comes out and the parents want to pull you back into the closet. You know, it's like, it's not safe. It's not safe. And I could not, in my mind, see how he could live a safe, successful out person, you know, as a gay man. And again, thankfully, he was very patient with me. And at one point, he said, Mom, how can you stay in that church when you know how they feel about me? And I said, don't make me choose. I'm in crisis mode here, and I need my church. Don't make me choose. And so then the years went on. He fell in love. He got married. He was one of the first to be married in San Francisco. On that incredibly incredible June day. And within weeks, of course, the Mormon Church sent out over satellite and all through their network that the members needed to donate and do everything in their power to pass Proposition 8.
Oh, wow.
And so my brothers, who live in the Bay Area, I'm from California, My family, they were donating thousands. And the church created a front group called Protect Marriage. They were funneling money through that, blah, blah, blah. And so it got really big and really ugly, really fast. And, you know, I'm just like, how does this affect you? How can you go after his marriage? Why would you do this to him? And so there was no decision ever. Do I stand with him or do I stand with the church? And it was like, I'll always stand with him and for him. And then, I will tell you, a couple of years after he came out, my lesbian daughter was like, are you gay? And she said, well, duh. Were we going to talk about it? And she said, Mom, I'm not a drama queen like Tyler. What's going to talk about? Anyway.
There's that sibling love.
And then... And then, you know, just it's interesting because just recently my second daughter, who she came home and she said, you know, Mom, I'm falling in love with someone. And I said, wonderful. Who? She said, it's a woman. And how do you feel about that? And I said, I feel fine about that. There's, you know, it's like, what I'm seeing in her, and this has all just been recent the last couple of months, but it's my dream. It's what I've always said that I have a dream that we live in a world where there's no labels and that people fall in love with people and that gender identity doesn't really have anything to do with it. And in Preach. My mind, that's And so, I've been saying that for years. And she said, so this doesn't freak you out? I said, no. And as I was talking to my other daughter, the lesbian daughter, she said, but Mom, I don't think of her as gay. I said, you know what? I don't either. And that's the beautiful thing. I think of her as my daughter that is in love with this beautiful woman that treats her like gold, you know? And it's incredibly wonderful to watch as a mom, you know? And so that's, so taking on, you know, the whole Mormon church thing, we were in the middle of it through Prop 8. And we helped connect some people that connected some people that connected the dots that followed the money that really exposed how deeply the Mormon church was involved and influenced Proposition 8. And we ended up in a documentary film called Eight, The Mormon Proposition. And, you know,
can you tell us really quick the name of the documentary again?
It was Eight, you said?
Eight. Uh-huh. It's just the number 8, : The Mormon Proposition.
Okay. Gotcha.
And it premiered in 2010 Sundance Film Festival, won awards there, sold out crowds. In fact, they added showing to it, which I guess is pretty rare for them to do. We were pretty afraid. There was a lot of hate mail, death threats, because we were very open and vocal in calling out the leadership of the Mormon Church, which they call their prophet.
Now, at this point, were you still a member of the Mormon Church?
At the time, I was still Mormon, but I was not actively participating at that time. Okay. Of Proposition 8. There were things previous to that that led to my distancing myself in meaning stepping down from leadership positions, meaning not attending the temple ceremonies and doing the work there. And so we became inactive. And much to my very, very large Mormon family's chagrin. But then when this happened, we have my husband, second husband, Steve, he's the one that really is the champion and the hero here, because he stepped in and has backed me and supported me and our, you know, the gay kids 100%, and to the detriment of his own children. When we were going through all this and the film premiered, we were considered then apostates from the church, this point of view, because again, we were speaking ill of their prophet, saying that we don't believe it's inspired and blah, blah, blah. And so they would not take our calls. We weren't allowed to see the grandkids. We were estranged from them, because it could jeopardize their standing in the LDS faith yes, if they associated with us.
So let me ask you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. So we know that history tells us that Prop 8 passed. It was successful. Their endeavor to end marriage equality in California was successful. When that happened, mm-hmm. how did you feel?
Oh, my gosh. My son, we were on the phone all night that night. He's a cardiac ICU nurse in San Francisco, and he was working, and he would go into the bathroom just crying. It's like, Mom, how's this happening? Who did this? Who did this to us? Why is this happening? And we were sobbing. It was horrific. It was, I would say it's a pain I've never felt before or since. It was devastating. And, again, we were in shock. We were afraid. It was like, where does that leave him and whatnot? And the thing that I just held on to and is the fact that something good will come of this. And it did. It, in my mind, Proposition 8 shocked the country and galvanized us as a community, the LGBT and their allies. I think it really slapped the allies and said, you know what, we've got to get involved here. We've got to step up.
Definitely.
And so I think it brought us together in that way, and it moved equality forward in such a way that, you know, it's historic.
Well, that's perfect. You know, people always tend to remember the bad and push aside the good. So it's obvious from what we're hearing, there were bad reactions and backlash when, you know, you found out that your children were coming out as gay. But what are like some of the good experiences of the people that, you know, stood by you? You know, as you said, distance from family, but who are those good ones who stood up to show support for you and support for your children and their love?
Oh my goodness. I'm going to cry.
And you're more than welcome to do so. I know that it's a very emotional thing.
We do.
And actually, when you were talking about your experience with your children and the coming out, and you're sitting down on the couch and you called them over, I was ready to just let go. And I was just like, I got to pull it together because, you know, we're interviewing you. And I'm like, I can't do this. But I was almost there. Seriously. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So no, I'll tell you, you know, up until that point, I didn't really have, I wasn't involved with the gay community at all. I'm really, at the time, quite a prudish Mormon mom.
So let me ask so when you go to your first, you know, meeting, and you're meeting with members of the community, what was your first thought when you walked into that room and said, what am I doing here? What were you thinking?
Let me tell you what the first thing was, and it was before the vote. It was 2 days before the Proposition 8 vote, and they were having. I had heard that there was a group that was going to do a candlelight vigil up in Salt Lake City, and I was like, I need to do that. I need to do that in St. George. And again, I didn't know anybody really in the community. I don't think I had been to a PFLAG meeting or not at that point. Maybe I had been to one. And so we pulled together a candlelight vigil, and I had my kids texting. We put up some flyers. We went around to the coffee shop. I did contact the PFLAG lady and said, will you send out your email list? We're having a candlelight vigil in the park, but it is gazebo right next to our LDS temple. And it's for anybody that's been affected by, you know, the horrific verbiage and onslaught of the negativity and attack because of Proposition 8. And that was on a Friday morning, and we were holding the vigil on Sunday. So the Sunday before the vote, and we we had that, we were at the gazebo, and we didn't know if this, you know, five people would show up. And we had over 100 people came to that vigil. And when you look at our town, there's 80,000 people. That's pretty significant. So that was my first real connection with the gay community. And here they all came. And there I was. Just, we spoke, we sang a song, and then we did what I call a love tunnel. And we had people come and line up on two sides, and we had people walk through, and everybody on the outside sends love to the person on the inside. And so everybody took a turn as we walked through the love tunnel. And it was just a really profound experience for all of us to be there and to support each other in the pain and the hurt of being
yet again slapped down,
cast out by our church. Mm-hmm. And so that was my first introduction to the gay community. Was a candlelight vigil that I held. And so I met so many of them that night, and we stayed and we talked and we connected, and I fell in love with them. And I think at that moment I became the surrogate mom to so many, far too many LDS, LGBT, Q youth whose parents had, you know, chosen the tough love approach of ostracizing their children. So, and
so when you say,
I don't know if you know, but yeah, no, youth suicide in Utah is disproportionately twice the national average. And, you know, it's hard to get real numbers, but the LGBT, of course, are the higher on that list, and it really is, in my mind, directly related to the teachings that those kids are hearing when they're sitting on those pews in church. And
so, you know, you had mentioned that you became the surrogate mom to all these LGBT kids. Now, we talked earlier about you being called Mama Dragon. Can you tell us a little bit about where that came from and what that actually means, or the Mama Dragons, what that actually means?
Sure. Actually, that came years later. The Mama Dragons is really a new kind of grassroots, organic coming out thing, and it was not me that started the Mama Dragons, so to speak. The Mama Dragons, there's a gal in Arizona, a Mormon mom. When her son came out, she started blogging and whatnot, and when the church just recently, really, well, I guess it was, gosh, I guess it's back in 2015 now, in November of 2015, they came out with a policy that was incredibly horrific and abusive in basically saying that the children of LGBT parents could not be baptized into the church or serve missions in the church. And it was almost like, you know, legally, we were getting protections legally. We finally got a non-discrimination ordinance in Utah just a year ago. And, you know, we got marriage equality in Utah. And so it was almost like, well, we can't go after the gays, but we'll hit them through their children. And so at that point, I mean, that just threw really faithful Mormons for a big loop, and the suicide rate just jumped. And so this woman, she said, Mama Bear isn't strong enough. And she coined, she is the one that said, I am like a mama dragon and I will breathe fire. And she was the one that started that language. Well, there were a couple other bloggers that picked up on that. And they started coming together to support each other, basically. And then some news organizations picked it up. And so it officially, and you can go check it out on mamadragon.org, and you can see kind of the origins of that. But it happened very organically. And for the most part, they are a support group that it started being Mormon moms. But of course, now it's really just moms of any faith tradition. And so they like to say, oh, you're the original Mama Dragon, but I was just the one out there breathing fire.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, what you're doing, what you did for your children is what in my eyes and what I feel is every mother's. It should be every mother's innate feeling to protect their young and say, you are my child, and no matter what mm-hmm. happens, I'm going to love you each and every which way you are mm-hmm. and support you in your life. And what you're doing is educating parents and other people. You're showing them that, you know what, this is not all, you know, it's not all about sex. It's not all about, you know, it's mm-hmm. suicide. It's not about, you know, prostitution. It's not about all these things, these preconceived notions.
And the stigmas and the stereotypes. Mm-hmm.
Correct. The parents have on their children. And what you're doing is so admirable. And that's why I said to Nick, I said, we're going to have such an amazing conversation about you and how you fit into our world and in our community and what you're doing. Seriously, if there were, I don't think there's a plaque or
you know what
big
it
enough
is.
For what you deserve.
What it is, it's the lives that Mama Dragons and people like you are saving, because, like mm-hmm. you said earlier, there is a direct correlation between the suicide rate and the teachings of the Mormon Church, and especially obviously in that area. And it's scary to think that an organization like the Mormon Church, who should be preaching about faith and support and community and loving one another, can create an environment in which these kids want to actually commit suicide. So you stepping back from the church as a previous Mormon, who I'm sure still has some type of faith and relies on her faith in some way, you're changing the face of what the LGBTQ community, youth in that area, is. You're giving them hope and you're giving them life just by being you and preaching your story, and you're standing strong for these kids. It's just so beautiful.
And by the way, you put it as an accidental activist, which is so inspiring that anyone can stand up just for what they believe in, and they can become something greater than what they thought they ever could be. And you can be inspiring other mothers, like you said you have. It's no longer Mama Dragon isn't just mothers of the Mormon faith, but of other faiths and religions that are standing up to just show their love and support for children and their children and other children, the youth of their communities.
Mm-hmm. Is there in the Utah area for LGBTQ kids that have been cast out by their families, is there areas where they can go and be supported? Are there homes for them or any support out in that area?
Okay, so until recently, it was illegal. You could, yeah. So if you harbored a minor, I mean, those parents could come after you, and so there were very little resources. And in the last 2 years, some incredible movement has been made in that in that area. So up north in the Salt Lake area, Salt Lake Ogden, they've got a youth resources and a youth homeless shelter, so to speak, for LGBT, and so that's fairly new. And then there's a darling young man down here that is trying to pull together some resources in southern Utah, but there's not enough. Let's just put it that way.
So let me ask you. You're saying that there's not enough support in the southern end of Utah. Is there, if there's anything that our listeners can do to help that? Is there an organization that we should be aware of, that we should be contributing to or helping out, that could help that cause down in the southern end of Utah?
Okay, so like I said, this young man and his parents, it's, oh gosh, what's the name of it? And I can't get online and tell you. How can I share this link? Because they just started this, they've got their 501c3 in place. It's called Youth Advocates, I believe it's called Youth Advocates of Southern Utah. Youth Advocates of Southern Utah.
You keep talking, darling. I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah, on Facebook. I believe that's what they're calling it. And they desperately need help to get the funds to pull together. This kid is really smart, and I shouldn't call him a kid. He's probably 30-something.
So what I'm looking at here, there's a little picture, and it says YASU. So Youth Advocates of Southern Utah. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to share this on our Facebook page. And
so their goal, this organization's goal is to create...
Their goal is to get a facility that is a homeless shelter that has the resources. We have a homeless shelter down here, but it is not good to be sending our young kids over there, our LGBT youth over there. It's not good for them. That's why he...
Mm-hmm. Sorry, continue.
Yeah, and that's why he's just like, we have to do something. We're losing kids, and we are.
It's okay, anyway. Honey.
Well, what we will definitely do over here at Gay Talk is we'll promote this Facebook page on our Facebook page. We'll put a link on our website, too, to hopefully encourage people to reach out and donate to those kids, because... That's one thing I don't stand for. I do not stand for loss of life because you're feeling discluded or unaccepted, because you're perfect no matter who you are, and you're beautiful no matter who you are. And we will do everything in our power to support this organization. So thank you for bringing that to light for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that, again, is so needed in our community, because like I said, there's very little places where they can even come together and see that, oh, there's other gay people in this town. I mean, I hear it all the time when somebody finds me, it's, they think they're the only one. And it's like, no, honey, you're not.
You're
we
not
have
alone.
A very large, vibrant gay community here. It's just that we don't have a place to gather and get together and do those things. And that's one of the reasons that you know, Equality Utah, when they saw the film, of course, identified me as oh, there's a mom that's not afraid to speak up. And they approached me actually 7 years ago and said, we want to do a little fundraiser in Southern Utah. We want to reach out and let people know who we are. We want to honor a couple of people in the community. And I said, well, if I'm going to do it, I want to honor these people in a way that they deserve. And we put together a gala, and we were blown away. I thought if we could get 100-150 people there, I would be thrilled. And we sold out in 2 weeks at, like, I think 260 seats is what we had. We held it outside in Kansas under the stars, the big red mountain. And it was, the newspaper wouldn't report on it. They wouldn't publish the word gay. They wouldn't give us anything. And what I wanted from that, what I asked for, I said, I want a billboard. I want to take the money that we've earned, and I want to take some of that and get a billboard on I-15 as you come into St. George, Utah, and as you leave to head up north. And so we fought for that and found a sign company that, anyway, took a bit. But we had a billboard that said, LGBT, let's talk equality. And then the Equality Utah logo, and had the Southern Utah red hills and skyscape. That's all it was. It was a really beautiful billboard. And it was one that, again, we couldn't put the word gay on there. They wouldn't let us do a lot of those things. But I thought somebody, the general public walking by would never know what that is. And so it's not going to offend anybody. And, you know, it was all in the news and they were, you know, is this offensive to you? Fucking great. But we got, at the same time, we got a booth kit that had the same, that looked like the billboard, this beautiful Southern Utah skyline and the LGBT lift off equality. And we went to our little Washington County Fair. And I had, you know, the community sign up to work the fair booth for that week. And, you know, I can't even stress to you, but Washington County is, but if you look at voting records, it's the reddest county in the country. I mean, it's just blood red. And so we were there with our booth kit, and as people would walk by, we'd say, "Hi, are you familiar with Equality Utah?" And they're like, "No." "Do you know what LGBT stands for?" "No." "Well, it stands for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender."
This is exactly what we talk about on the show all the time. It's not about, because so many people are going to see so many things on the news about gay this or homosexual that, but it's those moments where you can have that one-on-one conversation, that one-on-one interaction to actually look at somebody in the face and be like, this is exactly what it is. And now you have the education or at least a small little bit of what you need to know to make a better, clearer headed decision.
So, right. And with that being said, I hope I'm wrong, but I'm assuming that marriage equality only became legal in the state of Utah in 2015 when it became the law of the land. So with that, is there any kind of state help or funding, or is this all private? Is this all from individuals and fundraisers, or like, and what are the non-discrimination laws that Utah, if any, has to offer to the community? Because we know with the vice president, we have Mike Pence, who signed these religious freedom laws in his own home state of Indiana in 2015. What kind of laws does Utah have to protect people or to harm people?
Well, like I said, it was just last year that we finally got the non-discrimination ordinance passed. And I'll tell you how it had to work. The LDS Church came to the table. Because our Congress, our Senate and House here in Utah, they are, I would say, 98% LDS of the Mormon faith. And so, thankfully, in fact, it was our senator from St. George, Utah, who 2 years previous I had talked to wouldn't give me the time of day. And then next year, his daughter came to him and said, "I'm going to run to be, I'm going to be the president of the GSA at school, the Gay Straight Alliance." Mm-hmm. And he said, "Well, why would you do that?" And she said, she came to him and she started telling him stories and she said, "Dad, you have got to help. You've got to do something." And so he became, with Equality Utah, he became the sponsor of our bill. A Mormon Republican from Southern Utah became the sponsor of the non-discrimination bill. They didn't get past the first year they tried, but last year he was able to get to his Mormon buddies and bring the Mormon church to the table, and they negotiated a deal that supposedly, you know, help protect the freedom of religion, but was able to get non-discrimination in housing and employment.
And that's incredible. There's definitely so much more to go, but it gives me hope for a state like Utah, such as, you know, today we had talked about in the beginning of our episode, the strides that are going forward in the Supreme Court right now. You know, the baker from Colorado who is denying to make the cakes. So we live in a very unpredictable time right now, unfortunately, with the politics of our nation. But moves like they did today make me hopeful and look forward for more gains in states such as, like you said, blood red Utah.
You know, and I want to ask you one more question before we wrap this up, because we do actually have to wrap this up, which is sad because we love talking to you. But do you see any hope in the Mormon faith of change, of positive change to support people as a whole and not segregate out these poor kids and families. Is there any hope in our future, do you think?
Well, you know, I'm an ultra-optimistic person, and I want to say, yes, there's hope, and there are some leaders that are younger, that are in there from the connections that I have. We do have some allies at the top. Those older, I can't even call them gentlemen, those older people, frankly, we just got to wait for them to die off.
Yep, phase them out.
I say it all the time.
Yep. The sad, you know, it's a sad truth, but still a truth.
It's a very sad truth, yeah. And so I'm being reassured at times. You know, for me, again, through the whole Prop 8 thing, I had to decide I cannot be aligned with this church in any way, shape, or form. So removed my name from the records of the church as much as you can do that. Resigned, you know, with my younger children and whatnot. But from the contacts that I have and some of the mama dragons that choose to stay, I don't know how they do it, but they do, because they feel like they can, you know, affect change from inside. And I hope they do. To me, I couldn't. It was too heart-wrenching. And so they are assuring me that, yeah, as it takes time, and as these guys die off, we do have some powerful allies. And so that's my hope. But I don't know. I don't know if it'll be enough, because gay people interrupt their plan of salvation. There's no space for gay people.
Right. Well, you're always going to be there in the fight. Honey, it's in your name. Linda stays. Like, Linda stay. She's going to stay for this fight.
So, you know, I want...
That's right.
I've always been one to stand up. You know, there's been suicide in my life, and there's been a lot of loss as well. And you are the type of person that brings so much support and love to the community, and it's people like you that we need, and I can't thank you enough, and I feel for all of those kids and all of those community members out there that are suffering right now, and I love that you are there in Utah to stand up as a beacon of hope and love, and I can't thank you enough, Linda, for what you do and who you are. So thank you. Thank you.
Seriously,
you are
thank
most
you.
Welcome.
And I also
thank
have to
you.
Say,
thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been absolutely our pleasure to do so. But I will say this: if at any point in time you're listening to our show and you feel the need to call in and give us that motherly love, you've got our phone number.
Girl, we need it.
We record every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you have an open invitation to call us and give us a scoop of what's going on in your way anytime you want.
And he's not lying, because I want to say, one, your story and conversation was incredibly humbling, but no one in the history of Gay Talk has been able to get us to shut up. So like we are talkers, yeah. But when you came on, we just wanted to hear your humbling, beautiful, passionate story. You have so much passion, and like you said, you go out there, you stay, you breathe fire, and you fight the fight, and we are forever grateful for that.
And I hope that if someone hasn't told you recently, what you're doing is making change, and it's an amazing thing, and you should be thanked for it, and you should be, you know, someone needs to acknowledge the fact that you do what you do, and that's why the moment we heard that there was a story that you needed to tell, and we figured out what type of story it was, I was like, we need to give this woman a platform to speak, because there are a lot of young men and women that listen to our show that write to us all the time and say, you know, I'm going through this in my life and I'm going through that. And I think that your perspective, what you've talked about today, is going to really send a message to them and help them and guiding them in finding their way even if you're not there with them. So you have literally just gained yourself a whole bunch of children.
Mm-hmm. And to the future accidental activists.
So you better make sure that's a big Thanksgiving table because they're coming.
We are too.
Well, you know, as Mormon moms, you're told to replenish the earth and have a gajillion children. So bring it on.
Well, Linda, once again, thank you so much for joining us. It has been our absolute pleasure. And like I said, you have an open invitation. Anytime you want to call us, please do so.
I will. Thank you so much. Appreciate you guys. I'm in love with you already.
Likewise.
So much.
Right back at you, baby girl. Thank you so much for calling.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Well, that was an absolute amazing.
Sweetheart.
I'm still pretty emotional. You know, her recollection of how what she went through with her children, that sit down that she had with her son, her two lesbian daughters. You know, you really get a very, very huge perspective on the heart that this woman carries in her, on her.
And you know, it's interesting because we talk about this on the show often about Middle America, about people that are secluded, don't feel like they have a community, and this conversation that we had, it gives validation to what we always preach. And on top of that, it gives validation to the fact that that effect is clearly making there's a huge effect. I mean, you have higher rates of suicide in the LGBT community. That conversation made me so emotional. I want to go to Utah and hold these kids and tell them that one day they're gonna be able to queen away, queen out, and be free and live your life
like Trish, like mm-hmm. Trish. Seriously, but as she mentioned, if you go to Facebook, you can look up the Youth Advocates of Southern Utah. It is a youth organization. They're at the moment, as she explained, setting up their 501c status so that they can become a nonprofit organization. They're really looking for funds to be able to at some point get together enough funds to be able to build a facility where they can house homeless teens or homeless youth, that so that they have a place to go. Because, you know, a lot of people don't realize the magnitude of being shunned by family and church and religion and not having anywhere to go. Right. And that's why these children constantly, like when they leave their homes, they go to other states. That's why there's so many kids that end up in California.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what's interesting too here is like when my parents are amazing now, but it wasn't always easy. And when I came out, I had to leave my house. I walked down the street to my best friend / second family's home and I lived with them. Now, a lot of these kids can't walk across the street or walk down the street to their best friend's house because their best friend is also Mormon. Mm-hmm. So this need for this home, for these kids to feel supported and have a community and have a safe place to go is beyond compare.
Right. So they need the help, and we're going to post all the information you can so you can reach out and you can help. And I repeated it a couple times, but it's seriously something I love that she said, the accidental activists. There's so many of us that can become that one day. You know, we're not always capable, we're not always knowledgeable of what we're capable of. So something like that can be so inspiring. So reach out to this organization and try to get the funds that they need or donate your time. Work together to get a safe haven for these frightened youth of Utah.
Yeah, let me tell you, it's like I said, we posted it on our Facebook page for Gay Talk. And feel free to go up there, look at the information, and take a look at that. So do we want to cover the last story before we go, or should we wrap it up?
You know, I want to wrap it up, but I also just want two kind of uplifting stories.
Okay, well, let's go for it.
So I wanted to just touch on the fact that an anti-gay activist group rallied for defense against gay marriage. The National Organization for Marriage drew a crowd of fewer than 50 people.
Oh, well.
And that should bring a smile to all of our listeners' faces.
And looking at the picture right now where they have this set up is pretty much exactly where we had marched by with over 100,000 people. So
200,000, over 200,000.
Over 200,000.
Did we finally get an official number?
There's not an official number, but what What was reported, and I can read this to you, crowds stretched for blocks across the parade route near the National Mall. And while Lewis said they anticipated a crowd of more than 200,000 marchers, she said the number that showed up blew their expectations.
So we don't have a solid number, but we blew that out of the water.
Yeah. Well, can someone answer the question? Did we get more?
I was trying followers to find it earlier. And I
then
find
Donald's
it.
Inauguration.
Oh well, definitely.
Okay. I mean, more people showed up to the National Organization for Marriage thing. The less than 50.
Oh my God! Let me tell you, I am emotionally just filled with joy that someone like Linda Stay exists in the world, and I want to again just shout out to her. Thank you so much for doing what you do.
To all you mama dragons.
To all you mama dragons.
You keep breathing that fire, girls.
That's right. And to...
And I'll keep fart glitter.
And to keep Linda's children, to her son, and to her two amazing, beautiful daughters who are lesbians.
We love you.
You have one amazing mother. Guard that woman and safeguard her. We failed to mention during our interview, and I will bring this up, this woman is also a cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine?
And she was going through it when her son first came out. She was going through the whole chemo process.
So can you imagine battling cancer and becoming an accidental activist in support for your children, standing up against the church that you grew up in, and then going after, you know, Prop 8 and creating this amazing, this is strength beyond compare. The strength that this woman carries in her, it is just unbelievable. So, Bobby Edwards, thank you so much for opening your mouth.
Yeah, won that.
And because this is by far one of the things that I will always carry with me.
Yeah,
and sure. With that being said, listen up, Waffle House Kim. You mess with the dragon, you're going to get the fire.
Mm-hmm. You're going to get burned.
You're going to get burned, girl.
You might get a toasty waffle. So you got one more story. I think we should get on this one and then
I think it's,
wrap it up.
So obviously there's a bunch of Pride going on this month, but during the New York Pride, the Governor Cuomo reveals the I can't say
cursive
names, LGBTQ monument will be built. So there will be a monument built in honor of the 49 victims and the LGBTQ community as a whole, and it's going to be built in Greenwich Village Hudson River Park. Mm-hmm. The designs are available online, but they're beautiful. There are stones in this. It looks like a rock garden almost, but in between the stones, they are placing crystal or some type of glass.
Like a prism.
A prism almost. That when the light, when the sun hits it, creates a rainbow, and it's creating a space full of
love
and rainbows.
And rainbows.
So what a happy surprise, right?
It is beautiful.
I think, and when this gets built, I think we need to take a trip down there and take a look
at it. Definitely check it out. Mm-hmm.
So, all right.
Trisha's got things.
I have two more things. I know I keep talking. But all right, everybody. So it's Gender Identity Definitions, brought to you by unicornbooty.com.
There it is.
So this week's gender identity is gender questioning. And gender questioning is a person who may be processing, questioning, or exploring how they may want to express their gender identity. So that is gender questioning.
You're gender questioning.
All right, everybody. And I'm not gender questioning, but
she's gender arguing.
Yeah.
Nick and Trish will shut the fuck up fighting with each other.
Girl, you try living with these two bitches. They're crazy.
No, thank you.
You get to deal with them week after
2 week. 2 hours a week is enough for me, thank you.
Sorry.
Blowjob?
Cut both of you.
I know.
And then again, so your gay talk term brought to you by unicornbooty.com this week is simple. It's married. And the reason I'm doing married is because it is 2 years today that marriage equality was passed.
Bravo.
So claps.
Law of the land. Suck it, Mike Pence.
And obviously, this is an out of date definition, but I love the fact that it's in the book because at the time we couldn't get married. So married. Living together with another homosexual in a partnership of mutual consent.
Yes, queen.
And that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. So, today, that means something a lot more because you can get a lot more benefits than you ever did when that was written. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, we have some announcements. before we go out. If you love our show, you can head on over to iTunes. You can rate us, which we encourage that you do. We've gotten so many amazing ratings from several people over the past course of, few weeks. So thank you for those. In doing so, what you allow us to do is have a better placing within the iTunes and the Apple ecosystem. So that helps us greatly. You can also become a Patreon. And using this service, you, our listeners, can help support our show by pledging something as little as a dollar a month to help us along the way with production and anything else that may come up. And as Nick mentioned before, we are looking for sponsors. So if you're interested in becoming a sponsor here on Gay Talk 2.0, just send us an email at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
And next week, we are so excited to welcome back once again to the show the amazing Melissa Etheridge to recap on her most recent tour, her song Pulse, 1 year later, and where she's headed next. Make sure to tune in for that next week. It's going to be a great show.
Absolutely. I think we're going to be a little bit more composed this time around because we're like, oh, hi, Melissa. We're so queenie the last time. But
and we'll have our tea and shots, as promised. Yeah, we do.
And some herbs. We're going to take some herbal tea.
And thank you. I can't say it as much as I want to say it to our guest, Linda Stay, because my God, you are, as I said, a beacon of hope and love. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and tell us about your fight for equality and set an example for all mothers all over the globe and taking a stance in the Mormon Church and just being you and beautiful. And God, thank you so much.
You are seriously the champion.
Yeah.
So thank you. Mm-hmm. So, Christopher,
shall we put a rubber on it?
Let's put a rubber on it.
All right, guys. Our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces.
As always.
You can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can also email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
Oh, yay, it's my turn. So if you need to reach out to us, you can head on over to our website and click on the Contact Us tab where at the top of your browser, yay, where you can leave us comments, you can suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host. You can also call us by leaving us a voice message. Well, actually, you can call us and leave us a voice message so that we can answer it for you, any questions that you may have on the show. And those numbers are 334-GAY-TALK. Again, 334-429-8255. Don't forget, the show streams live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been our absolute honor this evening. Thank you so much, and y'all have a fantastic night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.